we see people in America and also in other nations being targeted by foreign intelligence services and other hostile actors.
So what has the U.S. government done? They've made a movie. It's Friday, October 2nd, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, Hong Kong riot police patrol the route of a banned anti-government march preventing big crowds from gathering. We'll take a closer look at perhaps the most controversial political debate in U.S. history. It is all on today's VOA Asia. The U.S. government claims that China and other foreign governments are using professional networking social media sites to target people with U.S. government security clearances. To make their point, two agencies, the FBI and the National Counterintelligence and Security Center, have released a new movie. I spoke with Dean Boyd, Chief Communications Executive at the National Counterintelligence and Security Center. But first, here's a short segment of the movie.
About the document, my colleagues agreed. The information was perhaps too, how you say, vanilla? They're requesting more specific details regarding your experiences with the Navy's program.
Why a movie? Why have you guys decided to do this?
This is necessary because it's we're pointing out and illustrating a threat that we see not only targeting Americans, but individuals around the globe in government, industry, and academia. We see people in America and also in other nations being targeted by foreign intelligence services and other hostile actors using fake profiles on social media platforms, including professional networking platforms. It's an issue that's growing, and unfortunately, it has been successful in multiple cases in which unsuspecting individuals who may post their resume or their credentials on a professional networking site are targeted by individuals overseas and approached and asked to connect, and then slowly over time they are asked to provide additional information, and the relationship kind of develops from there. But specifically, what we see is individuals in a company or in a intelligence community or what have you, who have access to information that a foreign intelligence services want. And it could be unclassified information. It could be trade secrets about a commercial jet aircraft, or cutting-edge research being conducted at a university, or biomedical research. Or it could be more sensitive information that's classified, that's owned by the government. So if you're in a position and you've got access to that type of information, and you put, all sorts of information about you, your work, and your contacts out on social media, just be aware that that could draw unwanted attention from foreign adversaries or other hostile actors.
This movie, this film, really targets China. Tell us why and more about that.
Well, I think it's based on a story. It's based loosely on the case of a former CIA officer named Kevin Mallory, who was approached this way gradually over time. They recruited him, and he was then convicted of conspiring to provide classified information to China. I will say, though, China is not the only threat actor in this space. We see multiple nation-state threat actors conducting the very similar activity, so and criminal actors. So but we have seen, and as you'll see from the number of other nations, including the UK, Lithuania, Australia, Germany, have all come out publicly and talked about just how aggressive China is in this space. And so we have seen them being about as aggressive as anyone in conducting these schemes. But this problem is by no means limited only to China.
And do you have any numbers as far as how big a problem this is?
We see thousands of Americans targeted this way. I'll give you one example. In 2017, Germany's domestic intelligence agency conducted a study of this, and they found that more than 10,000 German citizens, including members of parliament, government, and other agencies, were targeted by Chinese intelligence just in a nine-month period.
Who do you want to see this movie, and how and why is it being distributed as it is?
I think we want people in U.S. government who have clearances to see this movie, as they've been targeted through these techniques. We want people in private industry, a whole range of different industries, to see this movie, as they have been targeted. People in academia, and basically the general public. If you have access to information that may be of interest to foreign adversaries, we recommend you watch this movie. We have put the movie, the FBI has put the movie on their YouTube. And it's available for anyone on the web. It details inspired by true events, but it details a fictional account of a former CIA or a former intelligence community official who was targeted by a foreign intelligence services using a fake profile on a professional network site. They approached that person through the fake profile, recruited that individual to eventually turn over classified information.
That was Dean Boyd, Chief Communications Executive at the National Counterintelligence and Security Center. VOA Asia continues. Hong Kong riot police patrolled the route of a banned anti-government march on Thursday, preventing crowds from gathering as Chief Executive Carrie Lam cheered the city's return to stability at China National Day celebrations. More from correspondent Libby Hogan.
Holding banners and calling for their loved ones to be released, the relatives of 12 Hong Kong people arrested at sea last month marched to the mainland's representative office in Hong Kong on Wednesday. They left mooncakes, a traditional gift for mid-autumn festival, near the barricades, and chanted, "Return our children." The 12, of whom 10 were facing charges related to anti-government protests last year, were arrested on August 23rd for suspected illegal entry into mainland Chinese waters as they attempted to flee by boat to self-ruled Taiwan. They are being held in Shenzhen. And their families say they have been denied access to independent lawyers. The father of detainee Cheng Zi-ho broke down in tears.
I don't even know how my children are. Is this too much to ask for? My son is also a Hong Kong citizen. He pays his taxes.
Hong Kong authorities have said the 12 will be represented by mainland lawyers chosen by the detainees from a list provided by Chinese authorities, and that they have offered, quote, needed and feasible assistance to the families. China's foreign ministry has called the 12 separatists, compounding fears of many in Hong Kong about what they see as China's determination to end any push for greater democracy in the financial hub. Mother of detainee Li Ziyin.
Us Hong Kongers who are supposedly running our own city, we can't do anything. They don't respond to us, not even to our four requests.
In a statement on Tuesday, the liaison office said the facts related to their crimes were clear and that people with, quote, ulterior motives were, quote, spreading rumors about the 12 to instigate illegal demonstrations.
That was correspondent Libby Hogan. Happening now in Asia, researchers warn that Asia has become the world's surveillance hotspot and is at risk of serious privacy breaches as measures rolled out to contain the spread of COVID-19 become permanent in many countries. Among the worst-scoring Asian nations in the new report were Pakistan, China, Myanmar, Thailand, Cambodia, India, and the Philippines. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're happy you're with us on VOA Asia. The first presidential debate between President Donald Trump and Democratic nominee Joe Biden resembled more of a shouting match than a structured exchange of ideas. Debate organizers say they're working on changes to ensure a more productive discussion for the candidates' next encounter. But analysts say the chaotic outcome of their first meeting is also a reflection of the country's deep political polarization. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Swera has the story.
Social media exploded with memes during the first presidential debate between President Donald Trump and Democratic nominee Joe Biden, with many viewers characterizing it as childish and as old men yelling at each other.
This is a left-wing problem. This is radical left.
Will you shut up, man?
There were plenty of personal insults.
Yeah, there's nothing smart about you, Joe. 47 years, you've done nothing.
Listen, you're the worst president America has ever had. Come on.
Jennifer Mercia is a professor of political communications at Texas A&M University.
The kinds of things that we saw last night in the debate are exactly the kinds of things that erode democracy, that in fact our democracy is at risk. And you can tell by the way that political leaders talk to one another.
Discussions about the pandemic, economic recovery, and racial unrest were drowned out by insults and interruptions and shocking moments such as when the president refused to denounce white supremacists.
And would you like me to condemn
white supremacists and right
Proud Boys? Stand back and stand by.
Our street!
Proud Boys, a far-right group that engages in political violence, celebrated the president's remarks and created online memes with his answer. On Wednesday, Trump said he does not know who they are.
Over 200,000 dead, 14 million jobs lost, and Donald Trump spent an entire debate blaming others.
The Biden campaign launched a post-debate digital ad blitz highlighting Trump's remarks. While the Trump campaign claimed that the moderator and the media treated Trump unfairly in the debate and that Biden is weak. Tim Murtaugh is the director of communications for the Trump re-election campaign.
Joe Biden, who was put on his heels most of the time, spent a lot of time looking around for assistance from the moderator and sort of looking around for someone to bail him out.
Initial polls show that the chaotic debate did little to sway voters.
It was very disappointing for American democracy and the country as a whole. It was embarrassing, to be honest with you.
As campaigning enters its final weeks, both campaigns are trying to find voters they can still win over in the key swing states seen as most likely to affect the results. The remaining two presidential debates and one vice presidential debate are scheduled in October. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News.
At the University of Arizona, students and staff are using an app that lets them know if they've been exposed to someone who has tested positive for coronavirus. Michelle Quinn reports on how the app gives health authorities the ability to fine-tune advice to people who have been exposed.
At the University of Arizona, students are encouraged to download COVID Watch, an app developed on campus that lets them know if they've been exposed to someone who's tested positive for the coronavirus. The app also helps determine the person's risk of getting infected based on that exposure, providing health officials with important information to help tailor their advice in each case. Joyce Schroeder, a molecular and cellular biology professor, is the campus lead working on the app.
The campus itself has the ability now to set the exposure notification levels. And what does that mean? That means that if we want it to be really, really sensitive and pick up the smallest potential exposures, we can set the app so that it's going to notify somebody with the smallest exposures. We can go all the way in the other direction and set it so that it's only notifying people if they're absolutely, no question, heavily exposed to somebody.
Around the country, officials are turning to apps like these to help in the fight against COVID. They are using the technology to figure out when to notify people who've been exposed and what to tell them to do next, says Jeffrey Kahn, director of Johns Hopkins Berman Institute of Bioethics.
There's a little bit of laboratory of the states happening, so Arizona may do something, Virginia may do something else, and we will learn. You know, maybe we won't learn everything we need to for this pandemic, but everything we learn in this pandemic will be useful for the next pandemic.
The standard health recommendation now is if you're exposed to the virus, you stay home for 14 days. But Samir Halai, co-founder of COVID Watch, says technology like his app gives health officials the ability to personalize what they tell people to do.
We individualize the quarantine recommendation based on your specific exposure history. What we are also now adding is personalization, where we can look at your specific risk profile, your age, pre-existing conditions, and things like that, then those are some things we can use to personalize recommendations even further.
Michelle Quinn, VOA News.
Thanks to our managing director, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team of Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Stay safe and enjoy the day ahead.